Jesus. Can you say it with me? Jesus. 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 The sweetest name I know. Amen. I'd sing the song, but I don't know it for one thing. And the other thing is you don't want to hear me. I can guarantee it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Father, as we come before your throne humbly this morning, we come with thanksgiving, Lord, that we have the honor and the privilege of being your sons and daughters. We thank you that your arms are open wide. You're always ready to receive us, Lord, whosoever will come. Lord, we position ourselves today to, in this time of worship and praise and in this time before your throne, to hear your precious voice. Lord, we prepare our hearts today, and whatever hindrances or problems or issues we may be going through, in the name of Jesus, we set them aside, and we choose to spend this time at your feet, listening to your precious voice. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you always have a now word for us. You always have something that you want to place in our heart. So much so that you placed your very spirit in each of us so that he could continuously bring forth revelation and teach us. We're so humbled and thankful for that, Lord. And we receive this word today that we're about to receive from your heart to ours. We treat it as a treasure. And we ask, Father, that as we go through this time together and through the remainder of our life, however long that may be, that this time will be a moment in our history, our personal history, where we have a revelation that we see an abundant harvest from and that it flows through us to those around us. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We need to learn how to treat the Word of God as a treasure because it really is. There's nothing more valuable in our life than his living word. I love to call it living because it is. Today is kind of a unique message. Believe it or not, I've only got 3 pages of notes. You know, that don't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything, but I got 3 pages of notes. And they're in the point 12, so they're large. So, but don't get your hopes up. I don't know what God's going to say, only he knows. But today's message is kind of, those of you who attend our Bible study over the past, well, however long, this will be kind of familiar to you, but we need to hear it again. This is kind of a summary or just a, like in a supermarket, to give you a little taste, you know, of something and you're supposed to run over and buy it. That's what this kind of is. It's a little taste of the last 3 Bible studies that we've had. And in our Bible study, we're detailed. We're not in any hurry. So this is just a little touch on about 3 of them. But I really felt impressed that it's something that we need right now in our, where we are in our individual lives, in our corporate life as a church. We need these revelations. Sometimes, you know, certain things are so familiar to us, we don't see the depth of it. We don't see what it's really saying. We'll breeze right by a word that changes the entire verse. And the one thing we need right now in this time we're living in is we need a deep, intimate relationship with God. Amen. Beyond anything that we've ever had before. We need to be striving for that. Striving for that type of relationship with one another. Because we're only as strong as the other person beside us. We're only as strong as our relationship with God. We're only as strong as the amount of word that we not have knowledge of, but that we have heart knowledge of. There's a difference between heart knowledge and head knowledge. And so many of us can quote this Bible but not have it in our heart. That's why we live the way we do. That's why we got the problems we have. So we're going to take time, and I'm going to do it kind of slowly as we go through this, and I'll probably mention things several times. Isn't that how you learned the multiplication tables when you were in school? We did. We had to over and over and over and over again. But at some time in that process of being over and over and over again, as Maggie knows, she's a teacher, something struck the chords of our brain. And now you can't convince me that 3 and 3 is 5. It's not. I know it's not. You know, so there's things that strike our thinking after we hear it again and again. So I know I've talked about some of this before, but we're going to talk about it again. And I hope you can get it down in our hearts, what God's really saying to the church today. We're going to start in John 1:1, and I can't think of any place better. I always have a problem here because I want to take the whole verse and just stay there, but I can't. So we're just going to speak it and then go on. There's so much here in this, and I'll mention just a few things. In John 1:1, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. Do you know the power and the depth of that verse? So many of us, we read it and just right on by to the next one. We're talking about the depths of who God is and what His Word is. In the beginning, and I love the way the Amplified Classic says, before all time, because that puts it way back there before anything was created in heaven or in earth. It's way back there where there was only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and eternity. That's all that was present, because eternity is God. They were all three there. That's all that existed. There wasn't anything else. That's the beginning that John's talking about here. Not that slice where Adam was created. It's before that. But notice what it says. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word. So now that puts the Word where? In the beginning. That puts it way back there before anything existed. And the Word was with God. So we see them together. But that last part is something we really need to have in our spirits. And the Word was God Himself. They're one. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. They're one. They function together. They've always have been one. They always will be one. They never do anything apart from each other. Everything God does, He does in the unity of that of the Trinity. Not only is God Himself the source of the living Word, but the living Word is God Himself. God and His Word are one. I'm going to be saying that a couple of times. God is love, so we know that. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you say you know God, then you know He is love. But so many of us read the verse like this. He who does not love does not know God, for God loves. We miss the is. And that is two little words that change that whole verse. Then again, in 1 John 4:16, we see it again. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. There's a lot in there we overlook. But again, it said God is love. Notice in the beginning here, this is the New King James Version, and we have known and believed. You know, there's so many things that we can know but not believe. I like the way that put that there. We know and have believed. Put the two together. Now you've got something. Do you believe? But you can't stop there, because if all you had was, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Well, that's what I did a while ago when I took the is out. I believe that God has love for us. The world knows that God has love for us. They may not do anything about it, but they know that. Christians know that. Almost every Christian that's ever been born again knows that God loves them. But they haven't put the is in there. God is love. You got to go a little further than the us. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. See the Trinity at work again. See not only that God is love the being, but now he's brought us into that love with him.
Hallelujah.
The word abide means to live there. It means that I'm not going out away from this. We're one. We're adhered to one another. We're one. So I am in him, and he is in me. Because God is love, the being, and God and his word are one, then God's word is love. Have you ever taken a hold of that Bible and seen it as love? If God is one, and God and his word are one, then his word must be love because he's one with it. These are simple little truths that we don't take time to put together. Because God is absolute life, and God and his word are one, then God and his word are absolute life. The way God's word is love, because God is love, God is absolute life, so his word must be absolute life, because they are one. God and his word are one. Because God is absolute life, and God and his word are one, then God's word is absolute life. You see what we got here now with the word? We've got God's word is love. We've got God's word is absolute truth. We've got God's word is life, absolute life. John 1:4. I love John because he had this revelation in him. He had a deeper revelation than I believe he even wrote down. He had a deep revelation of love. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines on in darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. One thing about darkness, it cannot overpower light.
Amen.
Wherever light comes in, to the degree that the light is there, the darkness is left. You have a dimmer on your switch, you dim it, then there's a certain amount of darkness there. But this says that God is absolute life, and he's absolute light. The word says God is light. Wherever God's presence is, there's light there. How much darkness do we allow in because we don't have a revelation of what I've been talking about? Because we don't spend any time with him. We don't pray. We don't worship. We don't get the depths of what it's saying here, and it doesn't move from our head to our heart. The treasure of the word is not in our heart because we spend no time there. So in our heart, there's a certain amount of darkness. Wherever the light is not, darkness is there. Whether I like that or not, it's there. You know, this word is alive, and if I'm bringing the living word in, then it's bringing forth life because it's absolute life. This is more than just a scripture on a page. It's more than just a good saying. And it's not just something that somebody thought up and put there because it sounded good. It's life. It's absolute life. You know, this book is God-breathed. It's written by love for us to be able to receive that love and to love. It is an eternal book. When you start getting the revelation of this living word here, you'll find out it covers from that point in the beginning, before all time, where there was only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in eternity. It covers there and throughout eternity itself. That's all within these pages. God took everything he wanted to say to man and put it in the form of a book. And it took centuries and thousands of years to write it. And it's still being written. The book of Acts was never finished because it's still living. It's still happening. You know, this living word is precious. It's a treasure. It's what God is saying to his people. It's what God has said throughout the ages of time and will continue to say. This book, not the pages and not the form of the book, but what it contains will never go away. We will be studying this throughout eternity. And Have you ever taken a scripture and read it and read it and read it and go back to it again and you see something you didn't see before? That's because it's alive and because the Holy Spirit is revealing revelation to us. I can read this book from cover to cover and be able to quote it from cover to cover and not have a revelation of it. I can be as dumb as an old post and can't, an old farmer out there that has nothing wrong with farmers, praise God for them, but I can be an old farmer that have never been to school. I can't write nothing, but I can have more knowledge of the word than the professor in the college. Because I have a relationship with him and this word is alive in me. I want that kind of relationship. I want to love this book. I get done reading the book. I do it almost every time. I say, Lord, I love your word. Because I want that kind of a relationship with his word. Because when I have that kind of relationship with his word, I've got that kind of relationship with him. And as I do that, that word's coming alive in me, and I'm able to share it with someone. That's what we're supposed to be in our life. Because God is abundant life, and God and his word are one, then God's word is alive, absolute life. You know what we're supposed to be doing instead of crying in the beer and the soup and whatever you're crying, and oh, woe was me and all of that? We're supposed to be getting into the word at the very first sign of a problem and find a promise related to that problem. Actually, we're supposed to already have it before the problem comes, but it's sad we don't. Anyways, we're supposed to run here and have this thing so entombed in our heart that we don't do anything, make any decision without knowledge of God's instruction concerning that circumstance. You don't have to have a Bible under your arm every time, every place you go. It won't hurt anything. But if it stays under your arm, it's not doing you any good anyways. It needs to go off and get out from under there. You know. But we need to have a knowledge of the Word, be so such a relationship with that Word that we run there first. And that we see somebody in a problem, we're ready with an answer because the Holy Spirit brings it up. If I put the Word in, the Holy Spirit will bring it up. He'll bring it up when that problem, that person next to me has a problem, or I see somebody that's struggling and bringing the cart of groceries up, maybe not even a cart full, just a small bag and the covering going out to the car. I see that. The Holy Spirit all says, you need to buy her groceries for her. I need to have that kind of relationship. God, will God do that? Yes, he will. He does it all the time, but we don't listen to him. We don't have enough relationship with the word to recognize it when he's speaking to us. So that's why this title is God's Living Word, Absolute Life, Absolute Truth. I need to know that. I need to know that. What does God's Word say about my relationships? What does God's Word say about this problem I'm going through in my life that I've had from day one in my life? What does God's Word say about how to deal with those people that have hurt me or people I have hurt? What does it say about that? Do I know? I need to go back and find out, even if I know it. Be accurate. Go back to what it says, and then take that and start declaring it. Ask for forgiveness, whether you've done anything or whether they've done something. Don't matter. You treated it wrong, and you held that in place, so you still have to forgive yourself. There's forgiveness required, and we need to be big forgivers, and we need to be big declarers. In our life, what does God's Word say? Not what that song says. What does God's Word say? Does the song line up with the Word? If it's not, don't sing it or change the words. But be careful what you put out of your mouth. Let it line up with the Word. And when you pray, are your prayers lining up with the Word? Because that's what he's going to answer. Matter of fact, he's already answered it. The connection between what God's already done and what I'm praying for is the accuracy of the word and my believing that word. That's the seed that goes in the ground that brings forth that harvest of whatever I'm praying for. If I'm just complaining and praying the problem, I'm not going to get anything but the problem. Why did I get more problem? Because I've been praying the problem. Why did I pray the problem? Because I believe the problem. That's the why I'm always praying the problem. Because I see the problem bigger than the answer. I'm supposed to be praying the answer, and the problem bow its knee to the answer. Amen? Yes, that's what it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to recognize the problem. I'm not supposed to have it in my mouth. It doesn't change that it's not there. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm just saying there's a higher law and a higher truth. And if God's word is absolute life and absolute truth, where do I need to go for my answer? I can receive man's answer, my own, what I'm thinking is the answer, or my woe is me, and be talking about that. And I'm not saying you don't have problems. I don't have problems. We acknowledge them. Look at what David did. He said, Lord, this is where I'm at. But then he said, but your mercy, O Lord. He declared where he was, and then that was the end of it. He never went back there anymore because God's word said. He took the word of God and put it as a higher law over that issue. And from that point forward, Father, I thank you, your word says. Every time that issue comes up, Father, I thank you, your word says. You're acknowledging the truth of the word. You're acknowledging the light that is there. And that's the word that the angels grab a hold of. Psalm 103:20, and they go out there and start bringing it to pass. Because you, as a believer, are believing. Now, if you're praying the problem, guess who's bringing the problem to pass? God's not. And he can't do much where that problem is other than say, yes, it's there. You haven't given him anything to work with. Those angels are standing there with their arms behind their back because they can't do nothing. You haven't given them anything. You know, you're the one that declares. You're the one that takes this word and the name of Jesus, which he gave us, and declares it. We declare it. Then that angel takes it. He said it. God's word says it. They agree. Now this is coming to pass. Satan cannot stop the word from coming to pass. Hallelujah. It's absolutely 100% impossible for him to stop the word. He can't do it. He has to get you to stop it. He has to get you to move away from it. He has to get you to focus on the problem and not the answer. He has to get, and I'm including me in that you as well. That's a general you. Mama gets on me of that sometimes about that. But he has to get us to move away from the problem. Move away from the word and to the problem, I should say. That's where he has authority. Because now that word is not going to come to pass. You can think it will, but you've got more faith in the problem than you do the answer. So how can God work with that? But Satan's busy running around bringing what you've been saying to pass because you said it. That's the power of words. That's why this message is so important to us. We have to have it inside our minds and hearts. God's word is truth. It's absolute truth. It's absolute life. And it's absolute love. Satan cannot change it. Once we get that revelation, Satan cannot change it. We have to. So watch the words of your mouth. Keep them in line with the word. Go to the word. And there's no reason you can't find it because there's encyclopedias, all kinds of different books, and I'm looking for a word. Yeah, concordances, thank you. Concordances, all kinds of things available to us that have already searched it. That library back there is a room full of books and all kinds of different things that will help you in your struggle with these problems and issues. But you're responsible for that. I'm responsible for it. I can shorten the duration of the issue by having the word working in it. I'm still going to have to go through those problems. Some of them I'll completely avoid because they never got to me because I didn't speak them. I didn't acknowledge them. So they never came to pass. It was Satan's plan, but he couldn't get it to go because I didn't agree with him. I agreed with the word. So the word's coming to pass. And that's in our life and in other people's lives. John 1, 4, I'm going to read it again. In him was life, and life was a light of men, and the light shines on in darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. They cannot relate to one another. Darkness cannot force its way into light. It can't do it. The Word is alive, and that life pushes the darkness out. I've never seen anywhere where there's a switch for darkness. I don't know, but if there is one, please show me. Other than myself turning it. But there is no switch. Nobody wants to turn on a dark switch. They want to turn on a light switch, right? And that should be the way we have our life. We want to turn on light, not darkness. So don't speak darkness. Keep from speaking darkness. Speak light and allow that light to come in and bring light inside of us. And then we got Hebrews 4:12. For the word is living. I don't know how more you can say that. Any other way you can say that in different ways and get anything else out of it. It says God's word is living. Why? Because God and his word are one. It has to be alive because he's alive. Okay, God's word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and of the joints of the marrow. Now that's the spirit man and that's the natural man. He can separate the joints and the marrow and the spirit and the mind. He can separate that. I can't. No doctor alive can. There's nothing sharp enough to do that in the natural, but the word can. When you need surgery, go to that scripture. Go to that one. Let the Lord do the surgery. And then guide that surgeon as he's doing it because God already knows. There's testimonies where the surgeon had it all planned and knew he was right and everything and he was getting ready to cut it, but he was a Christian. And he started to cut there and the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Cut over here instead. And he started, and it kept coming up, and he knew the voice of the Lord because he had a relationship. So he'd done what the Lord said, not what the x-rays showed. And the guy was okay, but afterward they found out if he'd have cut him there, he would have killed the guy. But the Holy Spirit knew that, so he guided this Christian doctor. And he'll guide any doctor, really, if the guy's open enough to hear. God's not against medicine and surgery. He's for them, anything that will heal people. Praise God. But I got to know it. Because God and his living word are one, and God cannot lie, God's living word is absolute truth. If he said it, it's absolute. That's why it's so important for when you're going through issues and problems to find it in the word. Because he said it. How did Jesus defeat Satan in the wilderness? What did he use? Words. What did he say? For it is written. That always fascinates me. Every time I read that little three-word statement, for it is written, four words. Okay? That fascinates me. He is the Son of God. He's part of the Trinity. He was with God in the beginning. He existed before anything else, including Satan, existed. And here he's saying and pointing to something that's written. Why didn't he point to himself and say, hey, you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. I'm God. We're one. You leave here. He didn't do that. He defeated Satan at every temptation with what was written. That ought to tell us volumes about what we're supposed to be doing. That should be the way we phrase it. Oh, you're sick. You're going to die. You ain't got a chance. Or it is written, by his stripes ye were healed. Or it is written, even if you die staying. It is written. Because God's word is truth. Anytime doubt comes up, it is written. That's why you got to know what is written. Satan even come at him with scripture, didn't he? And he wasn't far off. But he was trying to tempt him with that scripture. See, so, you know, he can pull scripture too. So, this is another one I like. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. When did he promise this? Before time began. Man, we've been in God's heart for a long time. That means he was ready for the fall, doesn't it? In hope, what's hope? We had four messages on it. It's absolute earnest expectation. That's what hope is. That's what that means there. We have absolute earnest expectation of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. Promised before time began. I mean, he had us in his heart. He had our salvation in his heart. The word says that Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. Why? Because God loves us. He loves us so much. There is nothing that comes upon us that he's not already aware of. You know, he already knows the end from the beginning. He knows every single thing that ever will take place. This moment in our history here has been ordained by God. I'm supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to be doing that. Now it's up to us what we do with what we hear. But this moment was ordained in time. That is so fascinating to me. Nothing slips by him. He sees all. This is another one that fascinates me, and every time I read it, it fascinates me. John 18:37. You know, in a moment I'll read another scripture concerning this, but Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" You know where Pilate put himself right there? He was not hearing God. He did not know the truth. He said, "Everyone that hears me hears the truth, because they are of the truth." Pilate said, "What is truth?" Now, just a few hours before this moment, what did Jesus say? He was praying. In John 17, it's recorded what he prayed. And in verse 17, he says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Just a few hours before Pilate asked this question. Now, Jesus didn't go on and say, "Hey, I'm the truth. I'm standing right here in front of you." He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. He just let Pilate go. Where did Pilate go? He went right back out to the people, and he wound up being crucified. God is truth. His word is truth. God's living word is absolute truth. His word is his absolute bond. You know what a bond is? I mean, if you, like a guy gets out a bail bond, okay? That guy's putting up money to be sure you come back to court. You're bonded. You're an officer of some kind, a bank messenger, or maybe handle something very important, or maybe you're a government official or something. You're bonded. You know, there's a bond on you. You have certain things that you have to do. Otherwise, you break that bond. Well, God's word is his bond. He's declaring it. He backs it. That's what that bail bonds guy does. He backs the fact that you're going to be here. So he puts money up. Our insurance policies that we have on our homes and cars, they are bonds. We pay the premium. The company is bonded to do a certain thing if something happens. God's word is his bond. He said it. He backs it. We have to activate it and claim it. God's word is his bond. God's word has absolute integrity. When you say that, what does integrity mean? Integrity means, according to the dictionary, unchangeable, steadfast, truth, faithful, trustworthy, incorruptible, perfect. That's what integrity means. That's the way we're supposed to be living our lives. That's the name of Pastor Terrace's company, Integrity Engineering. What's he saying by having that in front of his name? When we engineer something, we're going to have integrity on what we do. We're going to be doing this. What does this say about the Word? I could say it this way. God's living Word is unchangeable. God's living Word is steadfast. God's living Word is truth. God's living Word is faithful. God's living Word is trustworthy. God's living Word is incorruptible. God's living Word is perfect. And there's scriptures to back up every single one of those in the Bible. God's Word never changes. Just as Jesus never changed. God's nature or His ways do not change. Neither does His Word. They do not change. That's why it's so important that we're in it. That we receive it. Because we're receiving the unchangeable, perfect Word. It's in our spirit, man. It's moving from our head to our heart. That's why we got to practice the Word. We got to practice the fact that it is alive. We got to continuously acknowledge that and acknowledge that it's perfect. Just as God never changes, God's nature never changes, nor does His ways, nor does His living Word. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That says something about God, doesn't it? He's perfect. He's unchangeable. Do I know that? Now, so many of us hear it, and we've heard it for many years. We've heard it so many times that we tend not to hear it when it's spoken in like in a message like this. We know that God is love. We know these things. So we tend not to hear it in the depths of what's being said. So it's important that I acknowledge it in my life on a regular daily basis. God is love. God is life. God's Word is absolute truth. God's living Word has absolute integrity. God's living Word is absolute truth. Well, what does absolute mean? I keep saying the word. Absolute, 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 absolute. We found out what integrity is. So integrity and absolute are related. That's why it's absolute integrity. Well, here's what the dictionary says about absolute. It's complete and perfect. So God's Word, living Word, if it has absolute integrity and it's absolute life, it's complete and it's perfect. Number two, free from limitations and restrictions or exceptions, it's unqualified. So God's living Word is free from limitations. It's unlimited. You can't put a limit on God's Word. You can put a limit on it where you're concerned by your lack of faith and your lack of going into the Word and obeying it and acting on it. It can limit you, but the Word itself is unlimited. It doesn't have restrictions. God's Word does not have restrictions or exceptions, and it's unqualified. You can't qualify it. It's beyond qualified. Okay, number three, God in absolute means having unlimited authority. God's living Word has unlimited authority. You can't limit His authority. You can where you're concerned by your lack of faith and believing it. But His Word itself has absolute authority. It will, it's a higher law. It overcomes sickness and disease. It overcomes poverty. Whatever you're going through, your problems and issues of life, that living Word is absolute truth. It has absolute authority over that area. You exercise that authority. We are the ones that take that authority in that Word and we speak it and declare it and stand on it. That's our job. Then the Word will do its work because we're standing on it. That's up to us. Number four, absolute means undoubted, certain, the absolute truth. So God's Word is undoubted. You can't, doubt cannot affect it except where you're concerned. That's why Satan wants you to doubt. Because when you do, you move away from the Word. Now the Word, the darkness is coming on and the light is getting dimmer because you're doubting the Word. There's no faith. You moved from being spiritually minded because you had faith and acting on the Word. You moved to carnally minded where you can doubt. And the Word says in Romans 8, that's death. So you see why things fail when we allow these things to come up? We need to get a hold of doubt. One minister said, doubt your doubts. We need to learn to do that. When a doubt comes up, I doubt you doubt. The Word says this. It is written. That's what you do. That's why you keep those promises you're standing on. Number five, absolute means not dependent upon, conditioned by, or relative to anything else. It's independent. It requires nothing else. It's absolute. God's living Word is absolute. Absolute means pure and unmixed. God's living Word is pure. It cannot be corrupted or contaminated by adding something to it. It's pure, it's whole, it's absolute. Psalm 111, 7 through 8. The works of his hands are absolute truth and justice, faithful and right, and all his decrees and precepts are sure, fixed, established, and trustworthy. They stand fast and are established forever and ever, and are done in absolute truth and unrighteousness and uprightness. That's amplified. I like that. That says exactly what we've been talking about. Psalm 138, 2. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name, all your name. You know what that's saying? Jesus, the Word says that his name is above every name, and that at that name, every knee will bow. What did it just say about the Word? It says he's magnified his Word above his name. So that sickness and disease that you're going through will bow to the Word if you'll enforce it. It's absolute truth. He's magnified his word of what he said, what he declared, his oath. He's magnified it above his name. Why do we put such a small importance on his word? We all do it without realizing we're doing it. If this revelation ever comes to the church, he's not going to be away very long. Jesus will come soon. Because that's the church without spot or wrinkle. When we start walking in this word that way, what are we really walking in? We're walking the love walk. Because God is love, and his word is love. If we really believe this word the way we're supposed to, we'll be walking the love walk. And the love walk is what removes the spots and wrinkles. Hallelujah. Okay, Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It stands firm as the heavens. It's settled. When are we going to get a hold of that? This word is not a maybe. It's not an if. It's settled. It's settled as far as heaven itself is settled. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord, divine instruction, the gospel, endures forever. And this word is the good news which was preached to you. It cannot be contaminated. It's forever. Eldon and I are always talking about getting our minds wrapped around forever. Eternal. You can't wrap your mind around that. It's not possible. It's an in total absence of time altogether. We have to think about terms of time, but time's not involved. It's God himself. It's eternity. If God has a time limit, then eternity has a time limit. And that's what it's talking about. This word is settled for eternity. It's never going to change. God's living word endures forever. It never changes. In order for the living word to work and in and through us, we must choose the living word and allow it to abide in our hearts. There's no other way for it to work. I can know all of this, but that doesn't change anything where I'm concerned until I believe it and abide in it and have it to abide in my heart. John 15:7, Jesus said just a few hours again before he went to the cross, if, and you should have stars and bars and everything else around that word, because that says a volume, if That's conditional. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and, conjunction, two different things, and my words remain in you and continue in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done again for you. For you. Why? Because the word's abiding and I'm abiding. So my will and his will are one. God and I are one. We're one. So because of that, my will is perfectly his will. That's what I'm going to desire and want. So that's what I'm going to ask for. So he's going to grant it. Okay? Everything that God does, no matter what it is, he does by and through his living word. God will teach us and guide us by his living word. That's how he teaches us. That's what he uses to teach us. He doesn't use sickness and disease. He doesn't use problems and issues. He doesn't do that to teach us. He uses his word to teach us. God does not need Satan to teach the church anything. He teaches us and he guides us. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's the New King James Version. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. It's a light. It shines on my now moment. There's nothing hidden from God in my now moment. He knows every circumstance I'm going through. He knows everything that, about this now moment. He knows what resources he has placed here in this now moment for my future. He knows how to apply those resources in my now moment to parlay them to what he desires for our future. Those things are present in our now moment. The lamp is shining on that. It's shining on my feet. That's what the lamp, when it shines on my feet, that's where I am. But it doesn't stop there. The word is a light unto my path. So not only is it shining on where I am in my now moment, it's shining on where I'm going. The word sees where I am, and it sees where I'm going. That's awesome. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, praise God, he sees where I'm going. His light is ever with me, and it comes through this word. If you want the lamp on your feet and the light on your path, get into the word. The Word of God will give us all the light that we need every day of our lives if we will allow it to. It's there, it's available, and it's up to us if we allow it to function. God wants to. Satan can't stop it. He's got to get us to stop it. If we live by the Word of God, we will never have to be in the dark again. I'm going to read that again because it really encourages me if it doesn't anybody else. If we live by the Word of God, we will never have to be in the dark again. We will not have to grope around blindly, struggling to find our own way through this life. We will not have to remain in confusion about which path to take. God will teach us how to choose. He will teach us and guide us by his living word. Notice he will teach us how to choose, but he won't choose for us. It's up to us to choose. We choose. He teaches. God is love. God and his word are one. God and his word are absolute truth. God and his word are absolute life. We can know these truths and still not have them working in our lives. We must receive, believe, and act on these truths. These truths must move from just head knowledge to heart knowledge. If they don't move and take that trip from head to heart, even though you know them, they will not work. Because it's heart knowledge. It's the seed that's sown in the heart that brings forth the harvest. And that's my job, to spend enough time in it so it moves from head to heart, from head knowledge to revelation. And if it's a heart revelation, you can't get it out of me. It's staying there till it brings forth harvest. Now we're going to do something a little different. I've got a confession here to make. And what I want you to do to start with in front of you is everybody in here has a Bible because it's in front of you. Grab the Bible. Grab one. You got your own, that's fine. Not your cell phone or whatever. Grab a Bible. Grab a Bible. There are tons of them here. Then we're going to make this confession together. Everybody got one? Hold them up. Oh, hold them up. Anybody without one? Yeah, there we go. All of them got one. I know Nate's got one back there. I saw it earlier. Praise God. So let's say this together with all of our heart. We've talked about this today. Let this confession be part of your life. Mean it from down deep in your heart and make it a commitment from this time forward. Father, let's all together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit myself to walk in your word. I recognize that your word is integrity itself, steadfast, sure, eternal, and I trust my life to its provisions. You have sent your word forth into my heart. I let it dwell in me richly in all wisdom. It does not depart out of my mouth. I meditate in it day and night so that I may diligently act on it. Your word is an incorruptible seed, abiding in my spirit. And it's growing mightily in me now, producing your nature, your life. I thank you, Father, that your word is my counsel, my shield, my buckler, my powerful weapon in battle. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It makes my way straight before me, and I never stumble or fall. For my steps are ordered by your word. I recognize the strategies and deceits of Satan, and I put a stop to them by speaking your word out of my mouth in faith. I am confident, Father, that you are at work in me, both to will and to do your good pleasure. I exalt your word. I hold it in high esteem. And I give it first place in my life. I boldly and confidently say that my heart is fixed and established on the solid foundation, the living Word of God. Amen. Amen. I made copies of that over there. They're on the table there. If anybody wants that confession, it's over there. I highly suggest that you'll be surprised at the change it makes in your life. If you'll take this confession and do it before you read the Bible, and especially before you pray. If you'll do that, you'll already have your heart set. You'll already have acknowledged your desire, and the Holy Spirit will already be working to bring that to pass. You'll be surprised as you study if you believe that and you really want it. You confess it before you read or study, you'll be surprised that as you go through your life, the revelations that will start coming as you read the Bible, because you've asked for it. You believe it. God will act on that, on your belief and your trust in Him. He's not holding back. He wants us to know this word. He wants us to live it, because that's the victory that overcomes the world. It's this word, this living word, that alive. Every time I speak the word, I'm speaking life. If I want life in my family, speak the word. If I want life in my church, speak the word over it. If I want life in my business and jobs, especially if it's a job where I don't want to be, speak the word over it. If you don't like the president, that's your fault. Love him. Speak the word over him. He needs all the help he can get. Speak the word over Ukraine. Speak the word. For it is written. Father, we thank you for this word today. Thank you for the honor that we've had to come together to hear your voice this morning. Lord, I know that you want us to understand this. And I'm asking, Father, for my understanding to be enlightened. I'm thanking you, Father, for our understanding as a church. I thank you, Father, that this living word is bringing forth life in each of us. And I thank you, Father, that it will not stop with us. It will go to everyone we know. It will go to those that are struggling in their life. It will go to the hurting and the lonely and rejected, showing them that you love them too, that you desire for your life to be in them. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you, Father, for the abundant harvest that will come forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.